How many are glad to be saved? How many don't know? It's good to be saved. It's good to be on the winning side. And we've been talking a couple weeks, and then we had a little break for Easter time. But we've been talking about the end times, some of the things that are going to be taking place in the end times. And we're going to just recap a couple of things that we went through a couple weeks ago. Some of these pictures you've seen before, and people making news today in the last couple of years, in the last little while, things going on. And we're going to look at a few things, and I'm going to get through these a little bit faster there. And as every time this picture comes up, I think of the thing, you know, the Bible tells us that Jerusalem will be trodden under foot until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And I think you see the picture of the earth there with a hand holding the hourglass. I think God is saying time is just about up. And, you know, the sands of time, as they, you know, are just about all gone through the hourglass. And we're going to see some things happen, I think, in the next few years. We're going to see some of the things, but I believe the rapture is going to take place and some of the things are going to happen after we're gone. And I believe in a pre-trib rapture. I believe that Jesus is coming back and the church is not going through the rapture. So if you're wondering where I stand on that, that's where I stand. I believe that, and the Bible says that he will keep us from the hour of temptation that's going to come up on all the earth. And I believe that's going to take place. But anyway, we're going to look at today, the end times, part three. We've gone through, as I said, two parts, and we're going to look at a few things this morning. First of all, we're going to recap what we talked about the last one, because this was about 3 weeks ago now. Just a recap quickly. We talked about seven signs that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 24. Seven different things that would take place in the last days. Remember, the disciples, they're up on the mountain, the Temple Mount, and they saw things going on there, and they saw the buildings, and they said, Jesus, come and look at all the buildings and see what's going on and see all the splendor and everything off the buildings. And Jesus told them, he said, listen, not one stone is going to be lifted upon another. This building is going to be totally tore down. And we know this happened in A.D. 70. But anyway, Jesus gave seven different things that would take place. But before we go into this, let's just bow and ask God's direction as we look into his word this morning. Heavenly Father, once again, we come to the word of God. Father, we approach your word reverently and humbly. Lord, realizing that in ourselves, we can't express this. We can't explain it. But Father, we just pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that there be freedom of expression, freedom of understanding, Lord, clearness of understanding. And Father, that you would just guide us and direct us, help us to see things, Lord, that you would have us to see. And Father, that we might learn from this and put things into practice in our lives. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus gave seven different things, and I'm only going to take a couple seconds on each one. Deception, he said there's going to be false Christ, there's going to be false prophets that would arise in the last days. Then he said there'd be wars and rumors of wars, and we've seen that happen. You turn on the news every night, you can see that. There's famines all over the earth, there's famines today. Pestilences, sicknesses, diseases, AIDS, SARS, H1N1, you can go on and on, different things that are in the world today. Then we talk about the earthquakes. In the last few years, there's an increase in the earthquakes taking place in the world today. Then he said there'd be great persecution. And if you look all over the world, especially in the Muslim nations, Christians are being persecuted for their faith. And the Word of God tells us these things are going to take place. Jesus said, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And remember a few years ago, and I've mentioned this several times, when they had the Swiss air disaster in Nova Scotia, Peggy Scove, Nova Scotia. They had an ecumenical service. And now when I talk about ecumenical, I'm not talking about just amongst the church people. This is all religions. And people were allowed to talk about Buddha. They were allowed to talk about Muhammad. They were allowed to talk about anybody. You weren't allowed to mention the name of Jesus. Prime Minister Crichton at that time gave a warning to the ministers that were being involved. Don't use the name of Jesus. I believe that's why he's not in power today. That's politics, I know, but that's just my opinion on that. But anyway, Jesus said, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then we have... lastly, he said there's going to be worldwide evangelism. He said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. So these are some of the things that Jesus talked about. And then we talk about two things that Paul mentioned over in Timothy. Paul said in the last days there's going to be a great apostasy. People are going to be falling away. Jesus said because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. People will get cold in their experience with God. And then he said, Paul goes on to say that there's going to be a great falling away from the church in the last days. And then he also told us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's going to be a lot of godlessness. People are going to love pleasure more than God. They love themselves more than God. And they'll get involved with things that they shouldn't be involved in because of all the sin that's going on in the world. So all, these are just a recap of what we talked about in the past. And we're just going to leave that there. Let's look today at the end times, part 3. Now, if I'm talking fast, speed up your ears. That's about all I can say because I know I talk fast. And when I came to Ontario, you fellows all got a strange accent. And so it's hard for me to understand it. But anyway, here we're going to look at today, the miracle of Israel. How many knows that God's got a time plan for Israel? Israel is God's timepiece. Now, there's a lot of teaching going around today, and I just throw this in up front. There's a lot of teaching going around. How can I put this in simple terms? How many can see a difference between Israel and the church that are two different things? Anybody see that? Okay, we're on the same page. But there's a lot of people going around, they call them covenant theologians. And by saying covenant theologians, what it means is that people believe that all the promises that God made to Israel are no longer pertaining now to the nation of Israel, but the church has somehow became the spiritual Israel. Armstrong, how many have heard talk of Herbert W. Armstrong years ago? He had the worldwide church of God. Today it's called the Tomorrow's Church or something like that. It was called, I don't know what it's called today. But anyway, Herbert W. Armstrong came up with a thing called British Israelism. In other words, Britain, Canada, United States, we are the lost tribes of Israel. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, covenant theologians, some people believe that. But, we are known, I guess, in the way that we believe, is called dispensational theologians or theology. Dispensational. In other words, we believe there's a difference between Israel and the church. God has made promises to the church, obviously, but he's also got some specific promises to Israel. Promises that he made back in the Old Testament that are still in effect today and are going to come to fruition in the near future. Israel is a total different entity from the church. Now, we're on the same page there. But anyway, we're going to look at the miracle of Israel today in the world and all down through history. Now, this here, you're probably not going to be able to read it. I'll read it from up here because even down there is kind of hard. This is written by Mark Twain. How many have heard talk of Mark Twain? Now, we know him as the author of Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and all these different things. But he is also a great writer. And back in 1898, he wrote an article called Concerning the Jews. And this is what he said. And a lot of people quoted this in the last few years. He said, if the statistics are right, the Jews constitute about 1% of the human race. Actually, is less than that, is only about 1/5 of 1%. Very little compared to the population of the earth. He said, properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of. He has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian, they rose, they filled the planet with sound and splendor, and then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, but they're gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jew saw them all. He beat them all, and is now what he always was. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but the Jew remains. Then he says, what is the secret of his immortality? What is it that keeps the Jew still going on today? There's other nations that were mentioned there that have come and gone and all these different things. Some are still in the earth today, but not in the power that they had back in the earlier days. But what is it about the Jew that even though they're only 1/1,000, somebody said, of the earth's population? I mean, that's only one in what? Every 100,000 or something like that? Some of you theologians or mathematicians, you should be able to figure that out. But anyway, whatever it is, there's only 1/1,000 of 1%. After the world's population. But yet for all, Jerusalem and Israel, it's just as popular in the news as the United States or Britain or any other nation. What is it about the nation of Israel that's so important? We're going to look at a few things here this morning. First of all, we're going to consider the selection of Israel. Now, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning, so I hope you got your Bibles because I never put the scriptures up there. I've noticed that when I put the scriptures up there, nobody reads their Bibles. And so we're going to flick through your Bibles this morning. And we need to hear a lot of pages turning and all these different things. And I'll say this. Some people say, well, I don't like bringing the Bible to church or stuff like that. you should bring a Bible to church. When we were going to, I mean, even teenagers growing up, we always went to church. We had our Bible and our hymn book. Every Sunday we went to church. Now, hymn books are big in those days. And we always went to church. And our pastor used to say to us, never feel ashamed to let somebody see you going to church with your Bible and your hymn book. And we never ever did. We always, every Sunday, we, you know, everybody had their own hymn book in those days. Took your hymn book to church and brought it back home again. And you get up Sunday night, you walk up to church again, your hymn book and your Bible. And so we did it. So, but in the meantime, if you come in the next little while without a Bible, we'll have one in the back of the pew for you. So we got some Bibles being set up to be in the back of the pews there. But anyway, let's go back. And we need to understand that for the last 4,000 years approximately, from the time of Abraham, the Jews have been prominent in the history of mankind. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12 and the first three verses. This is where God chose Abraham, or Abram at that time, and Abram became the father of the Jewish nation, down through Isaac and Jacob his son. The Bible says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God's selection of Abram, who later became Abraham, and the children of Israel, that was a sovereign choice that God made back in the book of Genesis, right there we just read then. That was a choice that God made. Some people say, what's so important about the Jews? There's something important about it because God chose them to be a special chosen people. Now, I know we're chosen in a sense as well. We're chosen in a different sense. But God has chosen Israel to be a tangible witness in the earth here in history and down through history and even in the last days. So it was a sovereign choice of God. And notice what God said. He said to Abraham, he said, I bless you and make you a great nation. And he said, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's through his seed, Jesus. Paul tells us that over in Galatians. Through his seed, which was Jesus, all the families of the earth will be blessed. But notice what God said to Abraham. He said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. You look at the history of the world today, you look at the nations of the world today, those that fight against Israel, those that stand against Israel are always living under some dictatorship, always living under some source of curse, because you can't fight against God's people and win. I mean, people have tried it all down through the history. People have tried it. Nations have tried it. And those nations are gone today. Remember back in the Gulf War, the first Gulf War back in 1990? Was it 90? 90, 91. Remember the first Gulf War? When Saddam Hussein and Iraq went in and invaded Kuwait, and George Bush, the senior, he was the president of the United States at the time, and they decided, and all the nations of the earth, a lot of them got together and went down and fought against Saddam Hussein and drove him back. And what did he do? I mean, Israel's over there not doing a thing. He turned his weapons towards Israel and started shooting at Israel. Where's Saddam Hussein today? You can't do stuff like that. You can't do stuff like that. The selection of Israel. God selected Israel to do three specific things in the earth. Number one, to present his message to the world. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Just go over there for a minute. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, what advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision, in the covenant that they have with God? Paul says, there's much advantage in every way. He said, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. In other words, to the Jew, God committed the message of God. We have the Bible today because of the Jews. We have everything we have today in regards to our beliefs and everything else is because of the Jews. Not them per se, but because God used them to bring these things into the world. So the Jews were used by God to present his message to the world, his message of redemption. Then we can go on and look at another point. God used them to provide a witness to the world. A witness to the world. Here in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 21, God said, this is my chosen people. He said, they will be a witness in the world. They would stand for God in the world. So, now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that everything the Jews are doing are good, or is good, whichever way you say that. I'm not saying that all the things that the Jews are doing are the right things to do. But yet for all, God has still got a plan for the Jewish nation. And in that plan, you know, well, we better go on because I mix them all together. God, through the Jewish nation, produced the Messiah to the world. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, if you go back there for a minute. And again, as I said, we're just skimming through a lot of scriptures this morning. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18. He said, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So God said to Abraham, he said, "In your seed all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed." God chose the Jewish nation, number one, to bring his message to the world, number two, to bring a witness to the world, and to bring the Messiah to the world, the Jewish nation. We need to realize that Jesus is a Jew when it comes to the earth, his earthly lineage. Jesus was born Jewish. Some Christians today hate the nation of Israel. Listen, we ought to be the people that support the nation of Israel more than anybody. That's who gave us everything that we have. We need to stand behind the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, just over a few more pages there. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. And as I said, there's going to be a lot of scriptures that we're going to skim through. He said, "But thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee for a special purpose, people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." God has chosen the nation of Israel above all the people around the nation of the earth. And we count ourselves as being blessed in Canada, the United States, and you know, what we call the free countries. And God has blessed us. And the only reason we're blessed is because we've supported Israel. The United States is probably the greatest nation on the earth, but I tell you one thing, the United States is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Right now, you got to understand all this economic crisis that took place in the last couple of years. That never caught God off guard. God saw that thousands of years ago. And you know the story as it goes, that in the last days, there's going to come a point that the world economy is going to be such a turmoil that they're going to get together and make a one world economy. And the Bible says you won't be able to buy it at that time without you get your mark in your right hand or in your forehead and all these different things. But we need to understand that all these things are just pieces of the puzzle coming together. And the United States right now is in debt to China as they've never been in debt to any other nation in their history. China is a communist nation. What's going to happen if China goes against Israel? The United States don't really have a foot to stand on anymore. They own everything that's in the United States now. You know, we need to take some of these things into consideration when you're looking at these things, what's going on in the world today. When you look at the news, always filter it. This is my way of, for years. Always filter the news, especially when it talks about the Middle East and the world economies and all these different things. Always filter it through the pages of God's Word. You'll get a better understanding of what's going on in the world. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, God said, "You are a special people." He said, "I've chosen you above all the people of the earth. I've chosen you for myself." Israel is a very special nation. Secondly, we just talked about the selection of Israel. Secondly, let's look at the scattering of Israel. The scattering of Israel. Israel, the Bible tells us, has been scattered all over the earth. And there's no nation that has been scattered like Israel has been scattered in their history. Other nations that have been scattered just assimilate into the society that they went into, and you don't even know. You can't find a Moabite today. You can't find a Hittite. These people just either dissolved, were wiped out, or gone. But the Jew still floats to the top. Or rises to the top, I should say, whichever way you want to look at it. But the Jew is always there. So no nation has been scattered all over the earth. And the Bible tells us there's a reason for that scattering. There's a reason for the scattering. When you go to a store, you see, you know, there's a Jewish sign over the door. You go to some city and you see a lot of Jewish sections and stuff like that. This, just to me, is just proof that what God said came to pass. They're scattered all over the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27. You should get ready to turn fast because we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. He said, "For what nation is there so great who hath God so high unto them as the Lord our God in all things that we call upon for him?" That's verse 7, 27, I guess I need it. Yeah, 27, I'm reading 7. "And the Lord shall scatter thee among the nations, and ye shall be lift few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord will lead you." God said, and the reason God was going to do that, God told him, he said, "I'm the Lord, I'm your God. If you worship me," he said, "everything will be fine." He said, I'll bless you and I'll do all these different." He said, "But if you turn from me and get involved in idols and start to worship other gods, God said, I'll scatter you all over the earth. I'll take the land from you that I gave to you. And he said, I'll scatter you. And he said, you'll be all over the earth, scattered over the earth. And we see that happening all through history. These things happen. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, there's a lot of scriptures in that passage there I want us to read. Deuteronomy chapter 28, first of all, verse 15. Deuteronomy 28, 15 down to 17. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, then all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed thou shalt be in the city, cursed thou shalt be in the field, cursed thou shalt be the basket and thy store. Then he goes on listing a pile of curses. Let's drop down to verse 25. Then he says in verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Down in verse 36, he says here, he said, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt sit over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods of wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among the nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Now, you need to understand what God is saying there. God said, I'm going to make the Jew. And you tell me if this is true or not. God said, I'll make you a proverb and a byword in the nations. In other words, people be talking about you. People be talking about the curse you're on. I mean, I was reading something a while ago. Actually, it was the same article I read earlier by Mark Twain back in 1898. And he was saying, he said, what is it about the Jew? He said, it causes people to hate them. He said, they're law-abiding citizens. He said, everywhere they've gone, they've always helped the economy. They've hired on people. They've started businesses. They start all kinds of manufacturing, everything else. What is it that everybody hates about the Jew? He said, it can't be. He said, you know, some of these things. He said, you can go into the prisons. He said, you're going to find very few Jews in there. Honest, they're put in there because of their beliefs. But I mean, in regards to evil works, you won't find Jews in. He said, then he went on listing. He said, you know, the people that are murderers and all this. He said, very seldom you find a Jewish name in that. We don't see the Jews going around today strapping bombs themselves and blowing up cities all over the world. What is it that the people hate the Jews? And his understanding, his logic, he said, I tell you one reason. Now, he's just looking at it from a natural, secular standpoint. He said, everywhere the Jew goes, he said, he comes in, he said, if you got a business there, and he said, if a Jew comes in and starts a business, it's just well for you to close down. Because his business starts to prosper and yours go down. He said, if he's a doctor, he said, he'll become the best doctor in town. If he's a lawyer, he'll become the best lawyer. Whatever he's doing, he becomes the best. And he said, everybody, the business world gets upset with him. God said, I'll bless you. And he said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I curse them that curse you. But God tells him, he said, if you would turn from me, God said, I'll take you out of the land, and I'll scatter you all over the earth. Down in verse 47, there in Deuteronomy 28 again. Down in verse 47, I've got to find it first. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart and for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies where the Lord shall send thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation with fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn or wine or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks, or of thy sheep, until he has destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest through all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. And then he goes on and says, and thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and daughters. Everybody has heard talk of Masada. Anybody ever talk of Masada? It's when the Jews are making their last stand against the Romans. And they had them, the Romans had them all surrounded, and they were starving them out and everything else. And the fathers killed all their own families instead of letting them go to the Romans and be used as slaves and being butchered and tortured and everything by the Romans. They decided to take their own lives. And God said, he said, this is what's going to happen. He said, if you turn against me, he said, this is where it's all going to end up. A lot of times we don't understand. Sometimes people turn from God and people stop coming to church and they get involved with other things and they don't understand the destruction they're bringing to their own families. And God said, all these things will come upon you. Down in verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all peoples, from one end of the earth even unto the other, and thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and sore of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. How many times the Jews, afraid. Remember back in the Second World War. You know, we today, you know, you have the diary of Anne Frank and all these different things that came from the Jews that were being persecuted in that time. People hid them in their attics, hid them in their basements, hid them out in sheds somewhere. Just so that, and the Jews were afraid constantly for their lives. God told them, this is exactly where it's going to end up. If you turn from me, this is where it's going to end up. You know, it's not that God was harsh, it's not that God was bad. God was giving them a forewarning of what would take place if they turn against him. This is how the devil was going to treat them, because the devil hates the Jewish people. And the devil would instigate Jewish people. And you know the sad part about it? The Jews are afraid of the Christian. Because Hitler, when he slaughtered the millions in the Second World War, he did it in the name of Christianity. You know as well as I do, that wasn't Christianity, but as far as the Jew is concerned, that was the Christian that did that to them. You know, we look at the Muslims sometimes, but they look at the Christian as just as bad. They're afraid of the Christian. And God said, you'll be afraid for your life constantly. Let's go on. Take too long to get through all the different things. God promised, now we just talked about how God was going to scatter them over the earth, but that's not the end of the story. God said, I'm going to bring you back again in the last days. That's where we're living today. We're seeing this happen today. We're seeing this part of the prophecy fulfill ourselves in our day and age. God promised to bring them back to their own land from all the nations of the world and bring them back again in the last days. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 14. Let's go over there for a minute. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 14. And he said, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you back again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. God said, the places that you left and I drove you from, he said, I'm going to bring you back again. I'll bring you back again in the last days. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, Zephaniah is in the Bible. You just got to have a bit more patience trying to find it. It's only got three chapters, and it's the last verse in the book. God says, at that time in the last days, at that time, he said, I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. God says, you're going to bring them back. United Nations, Dave Hunt, in a book that he wrote, said this. He said, in the United Nations, one-third of all the time invested in the United Nations since it was founded has been spent on the question of Israel. Do you understand that? The United Nations, all the nations of the world gathered together, and the Jews is just a little drop in the bucket. But one-third of all their time spent in the United Nations is spent trying to deal with Israel, deal with the issue of Israel. God said, I'll make it in the last days. He said, Jerusalem will be a trembling, stone of trembling to all the nations. Everybody will be afraid to touch it. It's like a powder keg over there. People are afraid to touch anything because it's so explosive. God said, that's what's going to happen in the last days. They say as 1/1,000th of the world's population. Yet, there's been over 60,000 directives and decisions in the United Nations that's been focused on Israel alone. Can you imagine? God, some people said, well, Israel's not worth that. God said this was going to happen in the last days. He said, all the nations are going to recognize that you're there. They're all going to know that you're there. The Jews are regathering back to their homeland. Look at some of the figures. In 1881, 130 years ago, there were 25,000 Jews in Israel. 1910, there were 80,000. God's in the last days, I'm going to start bringing you back. And you can see it in the last days, in the last 100 years or so. In 1939, when the Second World War began, 400,000. In 1948, May 14th, when Israel became a nation, 650,000. Now keep that figure in mind. Today, there's over 5.5 million. I was reading somebody the other day, when the world population on the internet, they said there's nearly 7 million now in Israel. God's in the last days, I start bringing you back to your own land. I drove you all over the earth because of what you did. God's in the last days, I'll bring you back again. We're starting to see that in our day. No other nation has been wiped out and gone forever and all of a sudden revived and brought back from the dead again. No other nations have been like that. Only Israel. So we look at the selection, the scattering. Let's look at some of the suffering that Israel's gone through. No nation has endured the suffering that Israel suffered. In 1730 to 1445 B.C., this is the Egyptian persecution. Remember under when Moses lived? Remember all the persecution that Jews went under? I'm not going to take time to speak on all these different things, but the Canaanite persecution. This is the Philistines and everything else that we read about in the Bible. We've been going through the book of talking about David's life and all these different things. All happened these years here. The Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and all these different things. You don't hear of them anymore. They rose up against Israel. They're gone. You can't fight against Israel and win. The Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the great king. And when the war, I was listening to a fellow preacher a while ago. He was a general from some unit in the United States Army. And he was in the first Gulf War. And he said he gathered his duty, he said, was to give strategic plans, what they're going to do with the bombings and everything else. And he said when it came to Babylon. Now we read about Babylon in the Bible. Babylon today is in southern Iraq. The city of Babylon is in ruins, but it's in the southern part of Iraq. And he said they were told, he said, if you get close to that place, you use precision bombs. You don't just go in and bomb the place. He said, because of all the artifacts that are there. He said, but when they went in, they captured different things, drove it, the Republican Guard and all these different things that Saddam Hussein had there. They went in, they said, and Saddam Hussein was rebuilding the city of Babylon. And matter of fact, he was calling himself Nebuchadnezzar II. And he said, on the stones, engraved in the stones, they had a picture of Nebuchadnezzar and a picture of Saddam Hussein. Nebuchadnezzar I, Nebuchadnezzar II. It's interesting. How many remember when Saddam Hussein, they found him in the hole? Came out, looked like a madman. I had his picture up earlier. Came out, looked like a madman, looked like an animal. Anybody know the story of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? The Bible said the very same thing happened to him. His nails grew out, he said, like claws of an eagle. He said he looked like an animal. And then he came to his senses and came back and recognized who the true God was, the God of Daniel. Remember that? Read the book of Daniel, find that. Then we have the Grecians under Alexander the Great and then under other leaders. There was a fellow named Antiochus Epiphanes. I don't know if anybody ever heard talk of him. He went in, he hated the Jews so much and he knew what the temple meant to them and the worship of God and all these different things. He killed a pig. Now you know how disgusting that would be to the Jew. He killed a pig and went in and offered it as a sacrifice on the altar to show the Jews that there's nothing to this God. He's gone. 66 A.D., now this is after Jesus was on the earth and was crucified and ascended back into heaven. In Alexandria, Egypt, this is a city that is named after Alexander the Great, they rose up against the Jews and killed over 100,000 Jews, slaughtered them in a very short time in Alexandria. A.D. 70, the Romans went in, and we talk about this when Jesus said, not one stone will be lifted upon the other. They went into and they burned down the temple and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. 1.1 million Jews were slaughtered by the Romans. Now listen to this. They say that the Jews went in, or the Romans went in and start crucifying the Jews. And they said he put them around the city wall, and they said there were so many being crucified that they couldn't find another spot to put someone. That's how bad the people hated the Jews. No other people say, oh, you know, well, our crowd, our race, we've suffered, yes, but nobody has suffered like the Jew has suffered. Down through the history. In the Middle Ages, 613, the Spanish persecution. 628, the French persecution. 1012, the German persecution. 1290, the English persecution. They said that the English, because the Jews, again, not because they were doing anything bad, because people just got upset with them because they were doing so good. Business was bad for everyone else, and they decided we got to get rid of the Jews. And they said, let's wipe them all out, get them out. And they put them on ships, they said, and pushed them off from the shore. And said, listen, sail to Spain. But they said they gave them ships that they knew would sink when they got out so far. Everybody hated them. Jesus said, you'll be hated of all nations. All nations. 1299, the German persecution again, 100,000 killed. 1453, the Polish persecution. In the modern times, Germany and the Holocaust back in 1939, 1945, 6 million Jews exterminated. They tried to wipe them out. What is it about the Jew? He says, what's the secret to their immortality? They keep coming back. They keep coming back. God told him, he said, I'll never utterly forsake you. He said, I'll bring you back in the last days. They say in the Second World War, 2 out of every 3 Jews in Europe was killed. Can you imagine? Today we have the Muslim nations. In many Muslim nations, their doors are open to anyone from all over the world, except the Jew. A couple of years ago, I went into some of the Muslim nations, Saudi Arabia and different, and just started looking at some of I read it somewhere in a book, and that's why it got my interest in it. And they're talking about, what do you call it, the qualifications, the regulations, whatever, to get into their country. To come in to retire or to live or whatever, what's going to cost, what you got to do for your money and everything else. He said, it's open to anyone except residents of Israel. They hate the Jews. Hate the Jews. Let's look at the survival of Israel. How in the world could he survive after all that? Isaiah chapter 41. Just go there for a second. This is where your cell listens at on this passage. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8 and 14. God says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, find even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God says, Israel, he said, even though I've scattered you all over the earth, I'm going to bring you back. He said, I'll protect you where you're scattered as well. I'm going to look after you. I'm not going to let people completely wipe you out. This is what we've seen in the last few years. Jeremiah chapter 31. And I know I'm going through a lot of different passages here, but it's important for us to understand that what we're believing is based on the Word, not some thought that we just have on our own. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 to 37. He said, thus saith the Lord thy God, which gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea from the waves thereof, when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth be searched out beneath, I will also cast off all thy seed, all the seed of Israel, and all that they have done, saith the Lord. For all that they have done, saith the Lord. God says, listen. He said, you look at the sun, the moon, the stars. You look at heaven, you look at the earth. He said, if my covenant with the moon to come out every night, or my covenant with the sun to rise every day. He said, if that stops, he said, that's the time, he said, I'll stop looking after Israel. In other words, he said, I'll never leave Israel alone. I'll never leave them by themselves. Now, I know there's a lot of things we're covering here today. I don't know if you can see this or not. I had a stick. Oh, yeah, okay. This is the Muslim nations. Now, Muslims are all over the world, but this is the nations that have Muslim governments. Okay? Now, you got to understand, these hate Israel. Israel is right there. You can't even see it. So I put a red dot there. You're not even going to see the red dot. Watch. I'll have a look here and make sure it comes. There's the red dot. Anybody see it? That's bigger than the nation of Israel. I had to make it big enough so you could see it. I couldn't make it spot enough on the computer. Every time I make it, block it the entire country and part of Jordan and everything else. So this is Israel right here, roughly. Here's the Muslim nations. I mean, and we got Muslims over here that hate Israel and all these different things. So here, you see all these things taking place. I can't even see it in the back map. I don't know if you can see it up here or not. Israel is such a small, from a natural standpoint, insignificant part of the world. You know the Balfour Declaration back in 1917 when England decided, well, you know, we're going to support the idea of Israel coming back to their own land because the Muslims controlled it for centuries. And England captured it and then they decided, well, what are we going to do with the land? And they said, well, we're favorable to the Jewish people having their own homeland. That was God involved with it in the governments. They gave Israel this little piece of land right here. But the thing is, even with all that, Britain has still turned against Israel. Sometimes we think of Britain, you know, but you understand, Britain right now, there's a vast majority that's growing in Britain, Muslim people. And you give it a few more years, Britain won't be on our side anymore. Britain used to be called Great Britain. Not great anymore. You can't play around with Israel like that. This is what makes me nervous when our government starts talking about, you know, getting mad at the Jews because they're starting to build houses and apartments in East Jerusalem. And telling them to give it up and give the land to the Muslims. God said, I'll judge them, he said, to take the land from you. I'll judge them, he said, to divide your land. Barack Obama. You know? He's doing the same thing down there. Always harsh against the Jews and supporting the Palestinians. What happened to Sven Robinson a few years ago? He said, it's time for Canada to stop supporting, he said, the Jew and start supporting the Muslim. Where's he at today? You can't play around with stuff like that. Joe Clark. You can go on and on and on here. Joel who? Remember him? When Joel Clark came into power, what are the promises he made? He said, Canada will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And the Muslim nations pressed against it and he backed down. And I remember the elderly gentleman got up in our church one time testifying years ago when I was just a young fellow. Well, young enough at that time when Joel Clark was in. And he said, that man, he said, won't stay in power, he said, for a year. He said, because he backed down from God's people. Where's Joel Clark today? I'm not saying Joel Clark is a bad person. I'm just saying his policy. You know. So here's Israel. Show you a couple more charts. Here's the world religions. Here's the Muslims. Here's Christians. Now this is from, you know, Protestants, Catholics, everything that's got a Christian name to it right here. Here's the Buddhist. Here's the Hindu. Here's the other. This is Confucianism and Sikhism and atheism and everything else all gathered here all over the world. Here's a Jew right there. You know, what is it about the Jew that keeps him so, you know, keep coming back up to the top? God told Moses, he said, or Moses said to the children of Israel back in Deuteronomy, he said, you know, he said, when God chose you, he said, it wasn't because you're the most populous people in the world. He said, not because you're the easiest, he said, because you've been a stiff-necked people, stubborn. And he went on there and listened four or five there. He said, God chose you because he loved you. And he made a covenant with your fathers. So what is it about the Jew? And I know, like I said, we're going through a lot of things here this morning and probably too much to comprehend, get it all in your brain. 1948, the modern nation of Israel was only 6 months old. Remember I told you about the 650,000 people that they had? I told you to remember that number? That's what they had, 650,000 people. Not even 1 million, not even 750,000. I mean, 650,000 sounds like a lot to us, but you get to understand. They only had 650,000. Paul Yung-Hee Cho got more people in his church than Israel had as a nation. You understand that? 600,000 people, 650,000 people. Those 650,000 people, 6 months old, now the nation was only 6 months old, faced 80 million Arabs. And in England, this is just after Israel became a nation, England backed down and decided they're going to support the Arabs at that time. This is back in the late 40s. They decided they're going to support the Arabs. This is why England is not Great Britain anymore. We call it Great Britain, but it's certainly not great anymore. England backed down from the Jews. Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. And the thing is, they backed down from the Jews. 80 million Arabs, they had an army of 600,000 soldiers. Israel was only 6 months old. He mustered together 60,000. You got to understand that. And with that 60,000 untrained Israeli soldiers, they defeated over 600,000 well-trained, well-equipped Arab soldiers just after 6 months being a nation. You can't see God in that? This is Gary Fraser in a book called The Signs of His Coming, written 2006, I think it was. He said, you cannot find the ancient neighbors of the Jews anywhere. Have you ever met a Moabite? He said, do you know any Hittites? Are there any tours to visit the Amorites? Can you find the postal code of a single Edomite? He said, no, these ancient peoples disappeared from history and from the face of the earth. Yet the Jews, just as God has promised, returned to their land. Israel is a miracle. I mean, sometimes we say, oh, I wish I could see a miracle. Look at Israel. Frederick the Great, he was the king of Prussia, which is part of Germany today. I was reading a while ago, and he said, he asked one of the preachers, they called the court preacher. He asked him, he said, give me one word to prove the inspiration of Scripture. The preacher never even had to think. He said, the Jew. That's proof enough that the Scripture is true. The Jew. Although the world seeks to destroy the Jew, God has a purpose for that tiny nation. Leviticus chapter 26. I'm not going to have time to get into all these scriptures now, but you can jot them down. Leviticus chapter 26, and then you go on down. The preservation of Israel is a testimony of God's faithfulness. And God's word coming true. Lastly, there's a good time to say amen. The salvation of Israel. Where does all this bottom out? How does the dust all settle when it comes to Israel? Revelation chapter 17 talks about 144,000 is going to be sealed in the tribulation period. These are going to be Jewish evangelists going around with the gospel, preaching the gospel to those that are in the tribulation. The reason I know that, because if you go down a little further in the chapter, he says, John was in heaven. He said, where are all these people? He said, they came. He said, with the robes white and all these different things. He said, he went up mass. And he said, don't you know? He said, these are the ones that came out of the great tribulation. Right after the 144,000 Jews were sealed. John said, I saw a number. He said, no man could name. Kindreds and nations and tongues. And he said, they were dressed in white robes. And he said, where'd they come from? He said, they came out of the great tribulation. This is right after the Jewish evangelists went out. God said he's going to make them as a witness to the world. Take his message to the world. Produce the Messiah to the world. We got a friend of ours living in Trenton. Is with the Canadian military. He was stationed over in Israel and he was stationed in Syria for a while. And he says, unbelievable. Now, he's not even a Christian. He says, unbelievable. He said, you can go. He said, walk down the street. He said, the Jews own this side of the street. He said, everything is all beautiful, grass and everything else. It was beautiful buildings. He said, right across the road. He said, they're under the same government and everything else. He said, the Muslim owns it. And he said, it's run down. They're living in poverty. The nation that was, you know, when the Romans went in, we just talked about there in AD 70, when the Romans went in and burned the temple and all these different things and fried all the gold out and all these different, you know what they did to the lands? They went out and salted the lands that the Jews would never ever be able to come back there again and live. so that their crops would never grow again. He went out and he said tons and tons and tons of salt and plowed it through the fields, destroying the land. And God said, the land is going to have rest for a long time. And the Jews went back, and the Bible says the desert would bloom like a rose, like a, you know. God brought all these things back together again. When the rightful owners went back, all the blessings came back to the land again. Israel is a miracle. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Paul said, listen, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. He said, I don't want you to misunderstand. He said, the day is coming. He said, all Israel will be saved. There's coming a day when God's purpose for Israel will be fulfilled, and they will accept their Messiah. We talked about in the last couple of weeks about Palm Sunday when they rejected the Messiah. Easter Sunday, well, Good Friday when they crucified their Messiah. Easter Sunday, the Messiah rose again, but he's coming back again. And when he comes back the second time, they'll recognize him. They'll recognize him. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6, they're going to look at him and say, where do you get those nail prints in your hands? Where do you get that wound in your side? And he said to him, he said, I received those in the house of my friends. Scripture said, who's seen such a thing? He said, shall a nation be born in one day? It happened. You don't need any more proof of God's word than the daily newspaper. You look at the news. Every time you see Israel on the news, as I said to you earlier, every time you see Israel on the news, every time you see the Middle East in the news, every time you see the nation of the earth getting together, planning for the world economy and all these different things, world religion and nations rising, religions against religions, always filter it through God's word. God has got a plan for Israel. God has got a plan. And when he comes back, the Bible says they'll recognize him. And the Bible says there's going to be a door of salvation open to the house of Israel. And they're going to come and accept him as their Savior. As their promises, I mean, we've heard from 4,000 years ago, God met with Abraham and ran down through Isaac and Jacob and all these different things, ran down through. And now we're at the place where God said, I'm bringing you back again. And right after that, he said, the Messiah is going to come back. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period, which the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Israel's going to be driven again from their land, trying to be driven. The Antichrist is going to come in and set up a treaty with them for 7 years. You know the story. But in the middle of the 7 years, you're going to break that treaty. And once again, all the nations are going to come against Israel. That's where God steps in and says, enough is enough. That's where Jesus comes back. I think we're very close to that time. Very close to it. A song we used to sing years ago, lift up your head, redemption draws down. Signs of the times are everywhere, but there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern skies. Lift up your eyes, redemption draws down.
John saw a city that could not be hid. John saw this city. Oh, yes, he did. John caught a glimpse of the golden throne. Tell me all about it. Go right on around the throne. He saw a crystal sea. There's got to be more. What will it be? I want to go to that city he saw, New Jerusalem. Jerusalem, I want to walk your streets that are golden, and I want to run where the angels have trod. Buddy.
did not see night. The Lamb of God, well, he must be the light. And he saw the saints worship the great I Am, crying, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. I want to go to that city he saw, New Jerusalem. Your streets that are golden, and I want to run where the angels have trod. Jerusalem, I want to rest on the banks of your river, in that city, city of God. Streets and